You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. In the midterm elections this year, one thing that Bay Area residents voted on was public safety. And one office inextricably linked to crime and public safety is district attorney. In San Francisco, Brooke Jenkins was elected to the DA's office this November after serving as interim DA following the recall of Chase Boudin. And across the Bay, Pamela Price made history as the first Black woman to be elected DA of Alameda County. Laura Bazelon is law professor at the University of San Francisco and director of its criminal, juvenile, and racial justice clinics. KELW's elections engagement editor Sonia Paul spoke with Bazelon about how the run for DA has changed over the years, from historically tough-on-crime approaches to a movement towards more progressive prosecutors.
Now the question is, does that movement have staying power? Because recently, at least, there's been an uptick in crime and a return to the tough on crime narrative, or is it kind of a blip on the horizon?
Yeah. So looking at who's district attorney in the Bay Area, we now have Brooke Jenkins in San Francisco and Pamela Price in Alameda County. And broadly speaking, Pamela Price has framed herself as this progressive prosecutor, but you know, Brooke Jenkins at times has also called herself a progressive prosecutor. At the same time, she does seem to inhabit this more aggressive prosecutor approach, if you will, with being tough on crime in San Francisco. So I'm wondering, when it comes to these individuals, how fair are these labels and assessments? And what else should we know about these politicians and their platforms?
Since the term progressive prosecutor became, for lack of a better word, trendy, many people have tried to claim that mantle. And I think when you're looking at people in the mold of a more centrist moderate prosecutor who says they're progressive, you need to ask yourself these questions. Are they trying kids as adults? Are they asking for cash bail? Are they seeking life without the possibility of parole sentences? Are they truly committed to exonerating people who have been wrongfully convicted? Are they committed to seeking diversion and alternatives to jail and prison when appropriate? And if the answers to those questions are no or not really, then that candidate and that elected DA is not actually progressive.
Yeah. So with Pamela Price and Brooke Jenkins, what should we know about what they stand on if they're in fact actually standing on a progressive prosecutor movement?
I don't know that Brooke Jenkins has said, at least not recently, that she is a progressive prosecutor. And her platform when she ran was the anti-Boudin platform, because when Chase Boudin won very narrowly in 2019, it was on an extremely progressive platform. And then when he was in office, he enacted a lot of those reforms. The Jenkins candidacy is a real reaction to that. And her strongest supporters are people who not only were dissatisfied when Chase Boudin was in office, but really felt quite vitriolic toward him and almost anything that he was associated with. And so when Brooke Jenkins was running, and even in the months when she was the interim, what she was doing quite a bit of was painting herself as a different kind of prosecutor and enacting policies that were different and rolling back many of the Boudin policies. I think when you look at DA-elect Pamela Price, there are a lot of unknowns because, of course, she's not taken office yet. But when I talk about progressive prosecutors, the real deal, they are people like the district attorney in Philadelphia, whose name is Larry Krasner, the state's attorney in Cook County, which is Chicago, Illinois, Kim Fox, Kim Gardner, who's in St. Louis. It's the kind of prosecutor who has the policies that you and I have been talking about. And Pamela Price, when she was running, very much cast herself in that mode and adopted many of those policies as planks of her campaign platform. And I don't think there's any reason to believe she won't make good on that, in part because she was drawing a real contrast between herself and her opponent, Terry Wiley, who was the former Alameda County DA's number two and was very much going to continue in the vein of that outgoing DA.
Yeah. You know, one thing I noticed about the final outcome of the Alameda County DA race was that many of the precincts that favored Pamela Price were actually areas that had higher reported crime rates than her opponent. Is this a trend or an outlier when it comes to areas that tend to elect progressive prosecutors? And what should we then take away about addressing justice if these areas that have been most impacted by crime want to steer a certain way?
It's very much a trend, and I would go further and say that it's an empirical reality. And they tend to be impoverished communities. They tend to be communities that are predominantly Black, predominantly Brown. The people who tend to be victimized come out and vote for reformers. And you have to ask yourself, well, why is that? And it's because crime tends to be intra-community. It happens between neighbors and friends and in families. And so what these communities keep telling us with these votes is, we've been to the Tough on Crime movie. We know how it ends. We don't want to see that movie. We want to see a different movie. And those are the people who are turning out overwhelmingly to elect the people like Pamela Price and Larry Krasner and Kim Fox and Kim Gardner.
Yeah. You know, and I'm also wondering, because the DA is a highly powerful figure, but they also operate within an ecosystem that includes the mayor's office, the police department, you know, policing being that first line of assessment of who even gets in front of the DA. So could you give us more insight on what exactly is within the purview of the DA and what might not be within their scope of influence if, say, you know, the mayor disagrees with them about something?
It's a great question. I think that DAs, particularly progressive DAs, tend to be portrayed in the media as responsible for everything. And certainly when Chesa Boudin was the DA in San Francisco, it felt like every time something in the city went wrong, they were going to attribute it to Chesa Boudin, whether it was spiraling addiction, whether it was homeless encampments. And these are the kinds of things that are the responsibility of the mayor and public safety and various other local agencies. In other words, the district attorney's office isn't a dumping ground for every single problem that plagues a city. Really, the actors responsible for dealing with these kinds of issues are the mayor and are various other government agencies controlled by the mayor and the mayor's appointees.
Yeah, this is really interesting because I was also curious. You know, we have two very different mayors in San Francisco and Oakland, Oakland being the largest city in Alameda County. So London Breed in San Francisco and now Sheng Tao in Oakland. Given that these individuals are either in fact or perceived to have a political understanding of how to address these issues, what can we imagine, if we can't see yet, how they will work with their respective DAs?
London Breed, the mayor in San Francisco, will work very closely with Brooke Jenkins. She appointed Brooke Jenkins after Chesa Boudin was recalled. She supports Brooke Jenkins, and I imagine she will stand behind Brooke Jenkins as long as the DA's policies are the way that they have been, which is more moderate and centrist and more in the mode of previous, more conservative district attorneys. And I think that as a result of that, if the same issues that plagued the citizenry of San Francisco under Chesa Boudin continue when Brooke Jenkins is the DA, I think that both she and the mayor are going to pay the political price for that. Contrarywise, if those trends go down, I think they'll get the lion's share of the credit. With Alameda County, there's just so many unknowns because there's a brand new mayor and a brand new district attorney, and the jury is really out on what their relationship will be and how cooperative or adversarial it will be. And sometimes when you have a more progressive DA who doesn't have the backing of the establishment, and Pamela Price did not, no establishment politician backed her, it can be a little tricky, especially in the beginning, to establish strong relationships.
Is there anything else that we should be thinking about as we look ahead? Any questions or things that residents of the Bay Area and listeners ought to be paying attention to?
I think that residents of the Bay Area should be looking critically at every systemic actor. And what I mean by that is there's so much focus, a white hot glare on who the DA is. But ask yourself, who are the judges that we are electing and allowing to retain positions? Who are the public defenders? Are these offices being adequately funded? What can we say about what the mayor is doing or not doing when it comes to homelessness and drug addiction? What kinds of programs are being put in place to combat them? What is the legislature doing? In other words, rather than think that everything rises or falls on who the one elected DA is, have a more realistic picture in which there are numerous systemic players and they all have an impact on public safety, even though for whatever reason, it's become counterintuitive to think about it in that holistic way. It's nonetheless true.
That was Laura Bazelon, law professor at the University of San Francisco, talking with KELW Elections Engagement Editor Sonia Paul. You can find more coverage about this year's midterms at kelw.org/elections.